Good morning. It is Wednesday. Paul's already wheels up to NADA. I'm headed out in a couple hours. Ben's coming tomorrow, and he's hanging out with me today. We're talking a whole bunch of stuff like Elon and shopping. Everywhere I go, the people really want to know who I is and who I be. They stop and stare when they see me. If I said it once, no need to repeat. I always leave that in just a little bit longer for you.
Just am I roboting right now?
You're full roboting. You're like sleeping on the screen, can't see you. You might come back at some point. It'll be okay.
Still sleeping.
Oh man. Oh, hey, no. If you're normally with us and you were expecting Paul to kick it off, he's on his way to NADA. I'm on my way to NADA later today.
We've got Sleepy Ben instead.
And Ben will be headed to NADA. I think you're tomorrow, right?
Yeah, I'm coming tomorrow at 6. Gonna make sure I hit the full path party.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Hope to see everybody there.
That'll be a good party. I'm gonna try and hit that. The Sphere is tomorrow night. We've got tomorrow, the thing that I'm most excited about, is going to be at the NADA live stage right next to registration at 3:15 PM. So you'll miss that, but it's okay. We'll have a whole bunch of the Osotu community there, watching and hanging out with Andy Gwelcher of Mohawk Chevy, who's going to be featured in episode 4 of More Than Cars. The TV docuseries highlighting dealerships around the country. We're going to show a few clips from some other things, provide all the energy, and then right after, we're going to take the entire Osotu community that comes, so make sure you're there. We'll slide right over. We've got pins for you. We got stickers. We got a little meet and greet, community get together. So make sure, kick off your NADA in style, 3:15 at the live stage. It's only 15 minutes, so make sure they're early. That'll be super fun. The other thing that we've got going on, we're talking a lot about, is AsotuCon. We've recently announced Will Gadara as the keynote speaker, who I think the people that I know. Ben, you're the only person that I know that's been to 11 Madison Park. Right?
Oh my God. Freaking amazing experience.
Right. Yeah. And so I'm excited.
Legend.
Yeah. I'm excited to have Will because he is a lot of what 11 Madison Park is today, even though he's no longer the owner there. But his experience in hospitality, and a lot of auto has been talking about how hospitality meets what we do in auto. I can't wait to see what the conversations that come out of that. But we got to get flying today because I've got to get flying. So speaking of things flying away.
Stop. Segway. Time.
As with almost every manufacturer right now, General Motors is rethinking its vehicle lineup with CEO Mary Barra announcing plans to integrate plug-in hybrid electric vehicles, no way, into North American models. This move aims to balance the federal fuel economy regulations and EV commitments. She didn't disclose any specific details about the plan or which models will be introduced as hybrids, but it's a major shift from them just going straight ICE to straight EV. Saying that essentially the statement was, hey, we realize that the consumer is actually not ready for this and the demand is not there. So we're going to try and bridge the demand with the plug-in hybrid electric vehicles. Mary Barra said during their earnings call, GM remains committed to eliminating tailpipe emissions from our light-duty vehicles by 2035. But in the interim, deploying plug-in technology in strategic segments will deliver some of the environmental benefits of EVs as the nation continues to build this charging infrastructure. In the 2010s, the Chevy Volt was already like the first PHEV technology that GM pioneered, but they discontinued it in 2019. So they thought they were on a mission and they've backtracked just a wee bit.
I've been thinking about this a lot. 2019, because it's right before COVID, listen to a 2019 song and it feels nostalgic. And it's not that long ago, but you'll feel like, oh my God, what a time to be alive. Remember then? I'm convinced reversion up to the mean is happening right now across the board.
Everything is.
Where,
yes.
Everything. Almost all the things that were done in the vortex of COVID world are being slowly unraveled and corrected.
Yep. Yeah, and this is one of them. Actually, speaking of that, this has nothing to do with the story, but my wife and I, we were scrolling the TV the other night. We turn on I Am Legend, which I don't know if you've seen that movie. And we immediately had to turn it off because we were like too close to home. Way too close to home.
But dude, it's in Vermont. He ends up in Vermont.
Right. Yes. New York City, then Vermont. Like, it was like, whoa, we can't handle this. So I think everybody's trying to figure out, and including the manufacturers, like, okay, how do we get back to this non kind of theoretical world of we can say anything, do anything, and everyone will kind of accept it as reality, to when now we've got like consumers placing a different level of demand. We've got an EV gap in adoption that we have to overcome. And the PHEV is clearly the path forward. Toyota's taking that path. We're seeing GM move down that. I wouldn't be surprised if you start to see more OEMs talk about how they're going to bridge that gap.
Yeah.
Speaking
we
of...
We have a PHEV in our garage right now. Best Northeast car you can have.
There you go. Hey, yeah, you get both options with it. It's really great. Speaking of options.
Segway. Time.
There's lots of options in Elon Musk's unprecedented $55.8 billion pay package from Tesla. Once a symbol of his extreme goals and abilities, is now facing a major legal setback. A Delaware judge is questioning the compensation's approval process, pointing to Musk's intricate connections with Tesla's board. So basically, the ruling challenges Tesla's board on Musk's pay deal, scrutinized for extensive ties with directors, potentially reshaping executive compensation norms. The case was brought by shareholder Richard Tornetta and argued that Musk controlled the approval process and misled investors, leading to a unique trial in late 2022. So Chancellor McCormick wrote, Musk was the paradigmatic superstar CEO, and his influence over the board may have caused a misguided compensation package, which is now investors are kind of like looking at with a little side eye, and we've seen the stock drop ever since that. So super, super wild.
I had to look it up.
Yeah.
That's literally the GDP of Serbia. It's crazy. You know what I mean?
That's like, unbelievable.
Dobro dan to all my Serbs out there. Dobro dan, kako sti. But literally, that is an insane amount of freaking money. You know what I mean? Like, oh yeah, just I've been the value I bring, nation of Serbia.
Like, full like, nation. I'm basically a country all on my own is the value that I bring to not just the country, not just the company, but the world, apparently.
Crazy.
Yeah, the majority of the pay structure consists of stock options rather than traditional salary. So it's definitely not an all cash salary. But where we've been talking about him being the richest person in the world, if this thing goes through and they have to kind of revert on the pay package, he would be demoted to third in the world with only $151 billion in his name. Hey, well, here's the thing. This is what's crazy. The fact that Even if this comes under scrutiny and has to change and investors push it and the court rules, like for a company to be able to at some point say that someone in that company can have a salary and stocks options value of over $50 billion is proof of what Tesla has created over the last 13 years. So That's the wild part to me is like, hey, it's at least somewhat possible. What a thing.
Dude has how many companies? Like six or something?
Yeah.
I'm a fan, but am I a $56 billion fan? No. I don't know.
No.
That seems wild.
It just seems like, you know, what are you like doing with
if it was
that?
Like $56 billion spread over Starlink and SpaceX and Tesla and SolarCity and, you know, boring and all right, it makes sense, you know, but now you got to like do the math. You're like, well, what's he going to ask for from X? What's he going to ask for from, you know what I mean?
Well, X doesn't make any money, so he's going to be fine.
Yeah. You know, maybe that's the problem. He's like, give me the 56 so I can keep X afloat.
So I can keep X. She's actually just like shoveling that money on his own. He's right. Like,
let me take 14. I'll be the number one advertiser.
Speaking of number one advertisers.
Stop. Segway. Time.
There is a question after Monday's announcement around Amazon Prime and ads, whether shoppable TV might become the norm. So there is a move now to potentially introduce in-stream shopping ads, blending e-commerce seamlessly with streaming content. Last year, Walmart and NBC Universal pioneered shoppable ads on Peacock, integrating AI technology during Below Deck Mediterranean episodes for a seamless Roku leveraged partnership with Shopify, allowing users to purchase directly from Shopify merchants through Roku action ads. So Danielle Carney, Amazon's head of NFL ads, says interactive video ads garner nearly 20 times more interactions from like the ad to the shopping. So there could be like this wild change. And you were mentioning like the social media apps are already engaging in this. Like what, when we look at streaming, could be another opportunity.
Yeah. I mean, like I was saying, that desk behind me, $80 on TikTok. No, yeah. TikTok shop.
Yep.
And you can only use it through mobile. Now like that to me, makes a little bit more sense, because how it worked was you get inundated, right? You scroll, you hit, keep on seeing the same thing over and over again. Yeah. So you're like, that makes sense.
Yep.
Just from the exposure. I don't know if I believe people are going to go shopping on TV just because the remote is annoying. The typing experience is hard.
I mean, so many people watch Amazon Prime not just on a TV.
Yeah, that's true. That makes more sense.
Watching on an iPad, watching on mobile, right? So there's a clickable experience that you could have directly in the Prime app as opposed to getting moved.
Was there news on the age limit on this?
No, I don't think so.
I could just see, because like my daughter.
Oh, she just crushes you. She's just in there just hitting like Bluey and.
Yeah, dude. Well, I mean, Disney's got to catch up on this, but like,
Oh, yeah. Disney's Bluey. That's
Paw Patrol. She just got really into Paw Patrol lately. Goodness. And the merch scene on Paw Patrol is ungodly.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's like, that's dangerous to me. Like,
I do wonder if there is an application point for this into auto. Like, I've been saying all week, I think Hyundai in particular, because of their announcement with Amazon, is like, all right, how do I leverage this? How do I leverage this? Because vehicle ads run all the time. So how do you leverage people into shopping behavior? We've seen a lot of use of like QR codes and things like that over the last 3 to 4 years with COVID, reintroducing QR codes. But, if there's a clickable experience, especially on mobile devices, could be an opportunity for auto to actually have a hand in curating shopping, because people expect vehicle ads already to be in streaming. So
I don't think it'll be digital retailing. I think it'll be lead at best.
It'd be lead, and I think it'd be like continue the discovery, right? I mean, I watch vehicle ads all the time. I'm like, what trim is that actually? What am I actually looking at? I think there's an opportunity to just like drive shopping behavior as opposed to buying behavior in auto. So we'll see. Yeah,
I like that. That makes sense.
That's not it. That's it. I'm out of practice. We're headed to NADA. Wheels up today. Paul's already there. We're going to be together. We're going to be hugging next. We're going to be hanging out, Auto Fam. If you're not there, follow Osoto on LinkedIn. We'll keep you up to date.